BlakeRadio.com.
Are you ready? No. You don't understand. I want to know. Are you ready?
For the thousands in attendance and for the millions not watching around the world, none of this is on television right now.
War Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sue Rockin.
Hi, Tom.
Lindsay Ward.
All of you men are simply intimidated. But most of all, men are intimidated by the fact that I have bigger balls than every man in this arena.
Interact with us live during the show and give us your takes on what you're for on Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote,
now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Kane has got two words for you.
Absence, and we'll get to what he was up to and a whole lot more. This is the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented by PWMania.com and MemLanePromo.com. I am, of course, your host, Sir Rockin', joined as always by the one, the only Lindsay Ward.
Good evening, all. It was a good night.
This was an actually really good edition of Monday Night Raw.
It was. It was a nice go home. It was. Got you revved up for the chamber, which is, like, unusual, because normally everybody's like, oh, God, it's Elimination Chamber. It's just a throwaway. They actually made the chamber match feel important, which is awesome.
They did. Made the chamber match feel important. They made the main event of the show feel important. And they even made the six-man tag feel important. Building importance to the matches. That's unusual.
We'll take it, though.
We'll take it. Definitely will. If you want to be a part of the show, the number is 267-297-1397. 291397. I can speak. Really, I can't. Promise you.
We're not going to have the same problem we had Thursday, are we?
No, we're not. We're not going to have that same problem. I'm actually going to be able to speak on this show. Don't worry.
Okay.
Because well, that was later. Anyway, the show opened up tonight with Paul Heyman in the ring to make a really important announcement. And basically the announcement was, he's done. He's resigning. There's this black cloud hanging above him in some fashion, basically what he pointed out. He talked about how for 7.5 years of his life, he sacrificed everything. He gave up his personal life. I sacrificed my parents' fortune to bring you, the viewers, the vision that he had for what he called ECW. He came to WWE and saw the most physically gifted rookie in the history of the industry. He said he used his passion and his vision to turn that rookie into Monday known as the next big thing, Brock Lesnar. Heyman said that they met a man. He then met a man who he felt that he knew in his heart could top Bruno Sammartino's reign as WWE champion. He saw the man who would carry WWE into the future. And that man was CM Punk. And with all of this, he was tendering his resignation because he didn't want to stand in CM Punk's way of the winning back the WWE championship. There was this higher power, this thing above him that just wouldn't, be there. It would stand in Punk's way, basically. And then he concluded by saying, I say goodbye.
To which we all went, no!
Please don't go, Paul. Please don't go anywhere.
Don't leave us, Paul!
This then brought out CM Punk. He talked, saying, Paul Heyman said, I'm in your way, and that Vince McMahon thinks that he was the one who paid off the Shield. And now, he was the one who paid off Brad Maddox, and he was the one, that was behind Brock Lesnar, and Punk said he won't let him quit. He says there's a lot of Paul Heyman guys out there.
And girls.
And girls. Just, we have one right here. Her name's Lindy Ward.
Yes. Hashtag Paul Heyman girl. Just saying.
If you thought what Vince did to you at the Royal Rumble was screwing you, you would just wait until you see what he does to us next. Heyman told Punk to remember, him as a martyr, but as his friend. Punk said no to all this. He said that the bad dream they are living now all goes away, back to normal at the Elimination Chamber when he beats The Rock. And Paul Heyman will be in his quarter as he becomes the WWE Champion for 455 days. Heyman said Punk is right, and beat The Rock you shall, Paul Heyman said. He added that he will be there Sunday to witness greatness happen before him. Heyman said Punk is a gift from the heavens, and he will be the reigning and defending WWE Champion. And then they hugged and looked up to the sky and thanked everybody.
This was a fantastic segment.
This was a great... Paul Heyman is fantastic on the microphone. Fantastic.
I'd like to point out, I like the symbolism of what's to come. A dark cloud.
Dark cloud.
Looking up to the heavens. Vince's wrath.
Could Vince's wrath be...
A dead man?
We shall see.
And obviously this symbolizes one thing. Taker has green-lighted Mania. To which Lindsay goes, crap. I still don't want this match. They're going to have to sell me. Like, I keep trying to sell myself on it in my head, and I'm having a hard time doing it.
Well, tonight was a nice start.
I will give them that. It was a nice start. But, you're sitting there, and you're going, is he going to show up? Is he going to do it?
Is he? Will he? Maybe? No. We'll get to that. This was a great start. Lawler mentioned on commentary that Paul Heyman was trying to upstage the Pope, because if you didn't know, the Pope, resigned today. He stepped
down. We're going to get into that Thursday, because I know we don't normally go political, but I want to get into that a little bit on Thursday. So, stay tuned.
Stay tuned for all that. Up next in our first contest of the evening, it's Mark Henry and the Great Khali. But one thing I can say about this one, we actually saw an aggressive Khali.
I'm going to kick myself for saying this, but this was actually a pretty good match.
For the minute and a half it was on, it was fine. It was not the train wreck I thought.
It was just enough Khali. He didn't need to be out there long to make the point between him and Henry, and it was just right.
You had two big guys beating on each other for a minute.
Yeah, and that's really all it needed to be. It didn't need to be this long, drawn-out thing. So it's nice that they did it, they got it over with, and now we can all move on.
Mark Henry beat the Great Khali with the World's Strongest Slam, and then after the match, he was screaming, that's what I do, and then, he then squashed the midget.
Really? The midget? Really? You had to hurt the midget?
He picked up the biggest dude and beat him, and then he killed the smallest dude in Hornswoggle. Sorry, Hornswoggle, you had to get World's Strongest Slammed.
You fail.
They hyped up Randy Orton and Mark Henry for SmackDown. Backstage, we have Booker T and Teddy Long. They were talking about Mark Henry when Chris Jericho came around and said, he says he knows they're looking for former world champions for the Elimination Chamber. He said he's a 6-time world champion. He's been in more Elimination Chamber matches than anyone in history. Long said he was all for the idea of Jericho entering the match. Booker cut him off and said everyone has to impress him and the WWE Universe. Long said he had an idea and whispered it to Booker T. Well, Booker T wasn't kind of impressed with the idea. He told him it sucked. Booker then put him in a match against Daniel Bryan, and then Jericho Mel spazzed out a little bit, impersonating Booker T a little bit. And he also, I believe, called Daniel Bryan Daniel Bearden.
Yeah, he called him Daniel Bearden.
Welcome back, Y2J.
I think he was just making fun of him, but it failed miserably. I mean, miserably.
Well, if you remember, you know, that's his gimmick, you know. Changing everybody's name. That's classic. That's vintage Y2J.
Everybody take a shot.
We continue backstage along with Vicky Guerrero on the phone when Paul Heyman walked in. She doesn't have time for his BS. Heyman was lobbying for Vicky to add a stipulation to the WWE Championship match at Elimination Chamber. She was reluctant to do so without Vince McMahon's approval. And when you mention Vince McMahon, well, he just so happened to call.
Okay, hold on. Picking up my phone. Vince McMahon! Damn it, nothing.
Vince McMahon? No.
Nothing.
No. Guess we don't have the magic phone.
Darn it. Anyway, go on.
So Vince is on the phone. Heyman went and talked to him. Vicky said Vince, you know, Vince went and talked to Heyman, so they talked. Heyman said Lesnar was out of line. Vince told Heyman to shut up and told him to say what he has in mind for stipulation. He basically said Rock's ego is so big that he could keep the title by getting counted out or disqualified, so he wanted The Rock to lose the title if he was counted out or disqualified, and surprisingly, Vince McMahon agreed. And then Heyman tried to kiss Vince's ass some more, and then, well, all you heard was a dial tone as Vince hung up the phone. And then Paul Heyman said, "You have a terrible phone, Vicky."
I'd just like to point out, just because I can, that was an iPhone. iPhones don't do that, but nice try, WWE. Nice try.
Well, they had to get the point across.
I know they had to get the point across, but I was just like sitting there. It's like a dial tone. I'm like, that's an iPhone 5. 4 or 5. iPhones don't do that. They just disconnect.
Don't all cell phones do that?
Yeah, they don't do the old-fashioned dial tone that a regular phone does. They just, you know, when somebody hangs up on you, they just disconnect. Good try, WWE. Good try.
But two back-to-back good promos, I would say.
Oh, yeah. It was great. And nice way to open the show and further it along and further the storyline with the title match, because it made it feel important. It doesn't make it feel like it's a throwaway. It's like, oh, well, something could happen.
Mm-hmm. So we get Daniel Bryan and Chris Jericho tonight, and we also had a promo for Fandango.
We had a lot of promos for Fandango tonight. He's a little creepy.
We had the first one here, and then we had a really, 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 really awesome matchup between Y2J, Chris Jericho, and Daniel Bryan.
Oh my god. Match of the night.
Hands down.
We need more of this. Hands down. Match of the freaking night.
The counters. Oh my god, this was great.
WWE, if you're listening to this, please give us more Jericho and Bryan. It's epic.
This was an awesome match, which saw multiple counters, a couple submissions. Walls of Jericho countered into the no lock. That was great.
That was fantastic.
This was really good. Jericho was able to hit the code breaker for the victory, and now he qualifies for the Elimination Chamber.
But he's not the only one that qualified, but we'll get into that later.
Yes, there'll be another qualifying match later on tonight.
Yeah.
So, in warm-ups for their six-man tag team matchup at Elimination Chamber this Sunday, which we will cover on Wrestle Talk Radio at 11 p.m. Eastern live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network, we have John Cena, Ryback, and Sheamus taking on the three-man band.
Because it isn't blatantly obvious who's going to win this one.
In what will go down in the biggest upset in Monday Night Raw history, John Cena, Ryback, and Sheamus beat Heath Slater, Drew McIntyre, and Jinder Mahal.
Yeah, move on. get to the promos after the match, which, by the way, why do they keep letting Ryback talk? Why? I'm sorry, every time he talks, I can't help but stare at his teeth. The dude has the weirdest chompers ever.
You know what's sad about this? Ryback did a better promo than Sheamus. Ryback said this is the day he's been waiting for, to feast on the Shield. Sheamus took the mic and said, there's no reason why these three men couldn't get some of their own justice here tonight on Raw. Cena took the mic and, heard all the boos, and there were some cheers. Cena questioned why the Shield would enter the ring later in the show and leave themselves vulnerable. Cena said it's a bold one. That makes no sense. Anyway, he said, justice meets law and delivered. If you want some, come get some. And then we had a Feed Me More chant. So later on tonight, we will have Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and Dean Ambrose, the Shield, in the ring, talking.
Dean! So you can see the smile on my face right now.
It sounds like it's big.
Yes, it is.
So, this is where the show took a little of interesting of a turn. We have Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler talking at ringside, and they pitch it to a video package from earlier today featuring Alex Riley and Yoshitatsu.
They finally made it on Raw!
Alex Riley and... Yeah. They got knocked out by Big Show. This was the oddest thing I've seen in years. Like, they threw it to a package about Alex Riley and Yoshitatsu talking. Like, yeah. Anyway, so Big Show beat them up. He headed to the ring for an interview. Matt Stryker was there waiting for him, and he said, So Big Show, do you feel... Boom! Knockout punch. And then Big Show just stood there, intensely, about to talk, multiple times, intensely, talking, but not talking. And then he just left the ring. Jerry Lawler wondered if, Big Show was going to say anything that, couldn't say anything that the censors would allow on air.
Stay classy, Jerry. Stay classy. I like this.
This was good. This was really good.
It kind of makes me sad that Alex Riley is now relegated to a backstage promo from earlier today where he gets knocked out by the Big Show. The same thing for Yoshitatsu. It's like, what happened to Alex Riley? He went from being one of the top guys, or on his way, I should say, to being a top guy 2 years ago to being buried deeper than Jimmy Hoffa. What happened? Like, I actually kind of liked him. I want to know what happened to the guy.
Well, now you do. I think, if I remember correctly, he got into it with John Cena, and, well, once you get into it with John Cena, you go down the toilet.
Ah, that explains it.
Yeah, so this was a nice showing the aggressive side of the Big Show. So it was effective. Up next, Zack Ryder took on Jack Swagger with Zeb Coulter,
aka Dutch Mantel.
Yes, Dirty Dutch Mantel. The way JBL was talking on Twitter, he's going to be the full time manager. I wasn't sure about that. When you become the job guy to Jack Swagger, Zack Ryder, yeah.
Let's get to the real awkward part of this.
So,
which was the promo after?
Well, after the match, he introduced Zeb Coulter as a native and a real American. Coulter took the mic and asked what's wrong with America. He said he and Swagger know what's wrong, but most Americans have forgotten. He said he and Swagger's fathers were in Vietnam with bullets zinging over their heads. We are real Americans, he said, and now I see a country that I don't even recognize. I see people with faces not like mine. I see people that I don't even know what they're saying. They can't even talk to me. He said he wonders where they came from and how they can get rid of them. He says, the land of the free and home of the brave, not to whoever wants to cross the borders. Go.
Okay, I heart Dutch Mantel. I love him, okay? This is not meant to go at him at all. He is a fantastic promo guy. He's one of the best old school heels you will ever find. That being said, really, WWE? Really? We're gonna go there with this. Let's just bring some good old fashioned racism to your product. That was just awkward. I mean, seriously awkward.
Yeah, I would agree.
I'm sorry, again, and everybody said it. Omega said it in our production chat. Way to bring racism to the product, be a star. I mean, I'm sorry. That was just, I get the Be a Star program is not technically a part of the TV product, but when they're touting it that much, and then they've got that happening on TV, there's a line. There's a line of what's acceptable, and I'm sorry, no. Just no. 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 Sorry. No. Okay, go.
Backstage, Teddy Long was talking to Booker T. You know, Zeb from way back in the day, Booker said, Zeb makes Swagger unstoppable, and now he's in the Elimination Chamber match. Out came Dolph Ziggler, AJ, and Big E into the picture. Dolph wasn't happy that Jericho was in the Elimination Chamber match. Ziggler said he wants in the match to stop Jericho. Booker said, there's another man, you know, who wants to impress him enough to get the final spot. So, Ziggler says, okay, fine, and they will fight tonight, and you're going to be facing the one, the only, the big red monster, Kane.
Hee-hee!
Yeah, so Ziggler didn't want in, now he wants in because of Jericho.
Could we get a continuation of their feud from the summer?
It looks like we're heading that way. Quite possibly. But up next, they hyped up on the main event this week. It'll be the return of the highlight reel with Chris Jericho. The guest will be The Miz on WWE Main Event Wednesdays, 8 p.m. on ION TV. But speaking of The Miz, it is The Miz versus Cody Rhodes one-on-one.
I miss Rhodes Scholars, and I want the Rhodes Scholars reunion t-shirt.
Yeah, in case you're unaware, they've already come up with a Rhodes Scholars reunion t-shirt, as they were on a reunion tour this past weekend.
I want that shirt so bad.
This match ended in disqualification when Cesaro got involved. All I gotta say is, well, Miz, did you protect your head this time?
Ooh, low blow.
Well, Cesaro just, you know, rammed them a bunch of times into the paddock guardrail. Wonder if that was intentional.
Maybe.
Hey, Miz, hey, we want to end your punk? Here you go. But this match was alright for a little bit of that time I had. It sets up where they're headed with Miz and Cesaro.
It made me a little sad, honestly, that you had Cody Rhodes getting the jobber entrance already.
Well, he's been getting that for a couple weeks now, so. Give him time, give him time. After WrestleMania, I think they have some plans for him.
I hope so.
Speaking of plans they have for people, we have a brand new tag team. Tensai and Brodus Clay as they took on Primo and Epico.
Team Eye Bleach.
Team Eye Bleach. Oh, I will say this, they work well as a team. Two monsters as a tag team, they would work well. They want to dance a lot, but they worked well.
They did. You know, they... it kind of reminds me of Too Cool in a lot of ways. And I guess that's kind of the point.
A bigger version of Too Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I just had a horrible thought.
What?
One of them doing the worm.
The girls would have to do the worm.
But I don't think that would not be the joke. That one of them's going to have to do the worm in the match.
Let's just move on.
After Tensai and Brodus Clay win, Rosa got into it with Brodus and Tensai. The girls took her out, and they danced some more.
That was nice.
So we might have a little bit of a feud brewing between these seven.
That was the only Divas action you got tonight, by the way. Just
saying.
Saying.
So, this comes to the point where the Shield come to the ring.
Dean
Ambrose took to the mic and said they stand united with the purpose of shielding the WWE from the type of atrocity that John Cena commits daily. Seth Rollins brings up Cena Ryback as Sheamus threatening them. He said that when the Shield want to deliver a message, they do so through action. Roman Reigns mocked the idea of the baby faces. The babyface Drew threatening them. Let's make it very simple. If you want us, come get us, he yelled. But no sign.
I can't. They're in Nashville.
They're in Nashville. Ambrose said it was empty stretch from an empty guy and three morally empty individuals. Reigns said they brought the entire roster last week and they couldn't bring the entire world, but the Shield would still be standing. Rollins said Cena failed last week and every day when he sits up and exists. He said Sunday at Elimination Chamber will be no different because Cena will fail again. Ambrose said Cena fails to set examples and smiles his day away. Inside his little bubble, in your world, there are no consequences, he said. Ambrose said that it's not the real world. Reigns said Cena has been the problem for the last decade. We, the Shield, are the solution. Rollins said that whether it was Cena's intention or not, the example, he said, paved the way for guys like Sheamus and Ryback to believe in the system and to believe in him. He said they have a chance to rectify a decade of injustice in one fell swoop. Ambrose said they should breathe so much fresh air because the Shield will drown them this Sunday. Believe in the Shield. The Shield isn't going anywhere, Ambrose said. Lawler, who was surprised, no one has come out to confront them. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, the lights go out.
Lindsay sucks in a breath and goes, oh crap.
It was not The Undertaker, but it was John Cena, Ryback, and Sheamus, and they all brawled. The babyface trio cleared the Shield from the ring, through the crowd, and they escape as all three babyfaces, celebrate in the crowd.
No, Matt, no, I wasn't disappointed, trust me. No, I was perfectly fine with the fact he was not on the show tonight.
Yeah.
Listen more Thursday for that one.
Yeah, I'll be talking about it. End up. So this was a very, very effective promo.
It was. I would like to know how much it costs to hire the Shield, because I can pay them in cookies and beer. I got a list. Just saying.
Yeah, this was their first real chance to get in front of the live crowd and cut a real promo. A real long promo, I should say.
It was long, but they all got to talk. They all got to share their point of view, which was good. And you all got to see their individual personalities. And I liked that. I don't know if it was Twitter or if it was in our chat, but somebody made the comment that Ambrose reminded them of the Joker.
I don't remember seeing that in the chat, so it might have been on Twitter.
And I could see that. I can totally see him playing that Ledger-type Joker character. And it works. Mm-hmm. Or he's just this madman with no rhyme or reason.
I would agree. The best part of the promo was that they did not let any of them ramble.
No, they didn't.
They kept it. Each person had short lines. They got them out. And they kept them under control, which was great. It made the promo really effective. I was really happy with this promo.
It made the match feel important, like we said earlier, and that's what it needs to do. This needs to feel like something.
Yes, and it is. I'm getting excited for the match. I won't lie. I'm excited to see this match. Even though I know the outcome, I still want to see the match.
And are they doing this one in the cage, or are they not?
They didn't announce it tonight. There were rumors of it, but it was not announced, so...
Ah, so I guess they're not going in the cage.
No, as of now, you would think they would have announced it by now.
Well...
Unless they did it on the WWE app.
No, we had somebody following the WWE app, and...
Okay, well, then it was on the WWE app, so it hasn't been announced yet. We'll see. Anyway, up next, Alberto Del Rio and Damian Sandow.
Poor Damian Sandow. Awesome promo, but poor Damian Sandow.
Awesome promo to start by him. Talk about country an anti-country music promo, which popped Omega, because now he has something angry with Damian Sandow about. They're not a fan of country music.
No.
But you did figure out, if you ever get a hold of Omega, you know what to do to torture
him. Yes, if anybody wants to torture Omega, country music, that's the key.
Del Rio wins with the cross arm breaker. After the match, he cuts a promo saying he agrees with the show that the time for talking is over. He said once the match with show is over, he's going to take his, you know, his cruiser anywhere in the world, including Mexico. But then he said there's only one place he's going: WrestleMania.
I'm sorry. I just cannot connect with Alberto Del Rio. I've tried so damn hard, and I just can't do it.
Yeah, I'm in agreement a little bit. Him trying to fake excitement as like a babyface is not working. It seems really fake.
Yeah, he just came off really, really, really contrived. Like, how he was on Friday on SmackDown was okay. Like, that was actually entertaining, but tonight, it just didn't do anything for me. And then have somebody on Damian Sandow's caliber job to him just kind of sucks.
Yeah, it does. So he's going to WrestleMania as the World Heavyweight Champion, maybe, if he can beat the Big Show this Sunday. Up next, we have Wade Barrett walking to the ring as they do that whole backstage routine, and then out of nowhere, Bo Dallas comes in and knocks him down.
Bo Dallas, white trunks, bad idea.
Bo Dallas beat on, threw him in the metal stairs, and, he started going after him before security broke them up. So, will Wade Barrett be able to make it out for his matchup up next? We shall see. Before we get to the match, Fandango.
Creepy stalker guy continues. I will say this, the backstage set promo with Barrett was nice, or at least as far as, to continue the feud where they can't contain it in the ring, mm-hmm. and they keep going at each other outside the ring, which is nice. It's got that nice intensity to it.
They're short little, they're not spending a lot of time on the feud, but each segment they do, it's short and little bits, pieces by pieces.
And that's really what it needs, because you're getting little bits of it. It's not one of the big feuds, but you're getting enough of it. That's just enough. And it makes you want more, even.
Right, I would agree. And we might get the match. This might be the YouTube match Sunday. Maybe.
It's either going to be this one or the Divas match.
Which was announced. It's Tamina versus Caitlyn, I believe?
Yes.
Via the WWE app. But up next, Kofi Kingston's in the ring as we get set for him to take on Wade Barrett, who is able to get to the ring. This was a fine match.
It was. These two worked very well together.
They do. Spug is in love with them.
I'm just in love with Wade. He can have Kofi.
By the way, congratulations to Spug.
Yes, for those of you who haven't heard, the Loudmouth Assassin and his wife welcomed their bundle of joy, Thomas Salzwimmer, to the world.
Yes, He was born a couple months early, but from all accounts, they're doing fine. Mother is home and resting. Thomas will be in the hospital a few more weeks.
Yes.
But all things are looking good for the family.
Yes, so congratulations to Spug. Congratulations to Mrs. Spug. We're very happy. Yeah, I was at work Friday night, and I get to work, and Rock's like, well, two good pieces of news. Spug made it safely back from New York, and the baby's on the way. I was like, what?
Yep.
So, but we're happy that everybody's doing fine, everybody's resting. So, yay!
Yeah, so you'll hear more from Spug most likely tomorrow night on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio.
Yes, tune in, because tomorrow night is his farewell show.
Yes, it is his farewell show. Yes, we actually had Spug live as he was riding to the hospital on Saturday. Yeah. CB Radio, where it all happens. So yes, speaking of, Wade Barrett defeated Kofi Kingston, which was a nice finish where he pulled him into, you know, he slid out of the ring, Kofi tried to hit him, he put him through the ring apron and hit the bullhammer, and then was able to pin him.
Yay!
Yes, Wade Barrett looked strong, he was, you know, looking for Bo Dallas, but Bo Dallas never showed up.
Damn right he never showed up.
Go ahead.
Bo Dallas spears Wade Barrett.
Now trending on Twitter. Up next, Kane versus Dolph Ziggler for the final spot in the Elimination Chamber.
Yes.
Good match.
It was a great match. Lots of stuff happening on the outside, lots of stuff happening on the inside. We had a nice little distraction by AJ.
Yes, we did. She caused a little bit of a distraction. Dolph, you know, tried to avoid hitting her. She got caught by Big E, who probably caught the feel of AJ as he caught her.
I wouldn't doubt it.
This distraction led to Ziggler walking into a chokeslam from Kane, and now Kane is headed to the Elimination Chamber.
Uh-oh, what implications is that going to have for our favorite anger buddies? Stay tuned!
The saga continues. Dum-dum-dum.
Was I the only one that noticed the long looks from Kane, between Kane and AJ? Am I the only one that noticed that?
Probably.
Damn it. I just liked how she got up on the ring apron and he's up on the corner. He's like, get down! Get down! And he's like, oh, screw it, jumps.
She had a nice outfit tonight.
Yes, very themed. Red and black. Mm-hmm. With white skulls. Very coordinated.
Very appropriate for this event tonight.
Yeah. Although I will say where she got thrown off the ring apron, that was a nice little spot.
It was.
Because she goes flying and Big E's just like,
yoink.
Snatch. Catches. Like it's nothing. And that's the thing, she hit him and he caught her like she weighed nothing.
I know.
Which to him, she probably doesn't.
Exactly. Then we got it. After all this, we got the next six participants: Kane, Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, Mark Henry, Jack Swagger, and Chris Jericho, all set for the Elimination Chamber. Then we got what I thought was a really cool video package hyping up the chamber.
Yeah, that's what made it feel important. Was it's like, this is the next step to WrestleMania. This is a big deal. It's not just a bullshit match. It matters.
I like how the way they did the video at the end, where they had the WrestleMania logo in the background with the chamber in front of it. I thought that was really, really well done.
That was nice. That was really nice. Whoever did that, props.
And then it's main event time. The People's Champion, the WWE Champion, The Rock, returned to Monday Night Raw live. He said, finally, The Rock has come back to Nashville. He talked about a story about moving to Nashville when he was 15. He was 6'4", 220, and could kick puberty's candy ass. He didn't matter how big he was. He still didn't get any play from the girls at school because they all thought he was an undercover cop. He said he hung out at a bar up the road listening to country music with his friend Downtown Bruno. He said someone magical walked in one night. And someone said Jeff Jarrett. Rock's response was, not Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, no, it wasn't Jeff Jarrett.
Which was a fantastic line.
Yeah, that was good.
He said not Willie Nelson, who he had hoped, rather a crackhead walked into the bar and asked if anyone wanted to buy a car. He said everyone in the bar wisely ignored the crackhead but the 15-year-old Rock. He said it was a true story. Rock recalled paying $40 for the car. I swear I've heard this story before. But long story short, you know, he's riding around in the car after he left the bar. There's another crackhead in it. He told the crackhead to get out of it. And then the Rock realized the car was stolen and he did what the most mature thing he could have done at the age 15. Someone screamed, turn it back into the cops. Rock said no. He just ditched the bar in a Burger King parking lot and walked his ass right back to Tootsie's Lounge, which got the nice hometown cheap pop.
Right.
Rock then recalled taking control of his life at his age of 25 and working his first match at the Nashville Fairgrounds, another cheap pop, at the flea markets and car dealerships for $40. This then brought out CM Punk, Paul Heyman, and CM Punk and Paul Heyman. They walked on the stage. Rock said last time he saw them, they were reenacting a love scene from Twilight. Punk being the vampire and Heyman being the werewolf. Rock brought up the new stipulation and, you know, about, you know, Vince McMahon and Paul Heyman working together to get the stipulation. Basically, he said to Punk, bring it. Rock said he was going to beat Punk's ass at the Elimination Chamber and threatened that if he walked down that ramp, he would beat his ass all over Nashville. So, Punk and Heyman walked down to the ring. Heyman says, I got you back. For a few moments, they stayed there, and then Punk went into the ring, and they had a brawl. They just beat the crap out of one another. Rock got the advantage, hits the spine buster, goes for the people's elbow, but no! Paul Heyman trips him up, allowing the GTS to be hit on the Rock, leaving him laying in the middle of the ring. Punk picked up belt and left the ring with it. Heyman yelled that the belt belongs to CM Punk. At the top of the ramp, Punk said story time was over. He said every time the Rock wants to bring it because it belongs to him, he's just going to take it. Punk held up the WWE Championship as the show closed.
Which was a fantastic way to end it.
You got the best of both worlds. You got The Rock entertaining, getting the hometown cheap pops, and then he got serious.
Wow. Right, you have The Rock go out, he did his normal shtick, and then, you know, you got the brawl at the end, which is the tease for the Chamber, because we're not going to get Punk and Rock on SmackDown, I believe. So this is basically the last time we're going to get these two before the Chamber, so it was a nice tease.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you have Punk beat Rock down and walk out with the title.
It was a nice setup for the pay-per-view. You didn't need another long verbal exchange between the two, because we got that.
Right. This was simple, to the point, got it, everything that it needed to get across. It worked. I liked it.
They kept it simple and to the point, and they hyped up a big match. And it's going to be a big match on Sunday. Won't be the Royal Rumble level of hype, but this whole event, we're building up 4 big matches. Well, 3 in the world title. But even then, they're really giving focus to the world title. So you have 4 big matches heading into this pay-per-view, and they've all got a lot of focus on the show tonight.
Right. They pushed everything they needed to push tonight. They will continue to push it on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Because now the Chamber match is set. That's what's probably going to get pushed on Friday.
Yes, we'll probably get... My guess is we'll get some sort of 6... I'm calling it now. We may get Daniel Bryan, Kane, and Jericho taking on Swagger, Henry, and Orton, I guess, maybe?
Right.
Or in some combination of those 6, maybe? Or some tag matches, I don't know. We're going to get something, some sort of hype, and it'll be good. So tune in to SmackDown for all of that.
They actually have to watch SmackDown.
Yeah, you might have to. Might get some anger buddies.
We have to get at least one promo from the anger buddies about this.
So I'm going to throw this out there before we go. Thursday is Valentine's Day. It's a shame they didn't get each other a card for Valentine's Day yet.
It is.
Maybe it'll come Friday.
Maybe. I don't know. But yes, oh, that's right. The show is on Valentine's Day this year. Do we even want to recognize it, or do we just want to, you know, do a whole love-themed show?
Does everyone want to see a love-themed show Thursday night?
And when I say love theme, it's called Lindsay Gets Drunk and Watches a Violent Slasher Movie.
So, it's up to you, people. So, we'll see what happens. Tune in for all that. So, that was Raw. I really enjoyed it.
I liked it. It didn't drag. It had some spots, but it, for the most part, it didn't have the drag that it normally does, which was really nice.
And they've gotten better at that lately.
They have. It's like, you know, as they're building to Mania, the Chamber in Mania, it's gotten better. And I think that's the point is, like we said before, they're booking backwards. So they booked backwards from Mania to a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
And we're now getting, I think, into that stretch where we're going to get the good booking. I'm going to use air quotes, good booking. You know, as far for the shows, where it's now after Chamber, now we are on that road to Mania. That's the next show. That's when everything is going to happen. Everything we've been waiting for is going to happen after Sunday.
Which is what you
whether
want.
Whether we want it or not.
Whether we want it or not. But it's a good thing, though.
It is a good thing. It's an exciting time to watch wrestling. It's one of those times that it makes you a fan again, because it's you don't know what's going to happen, even though we kind of do, but you don't know what's going to happen as far as them getting there. So there's that anticipation of how are they going to do it.
Which is all you can ask for.
It is.
Apparently The Rock is on SmackDown this week, so we'll get more hype on SmackDown. How about that?
All right.
There you go. The Rock's on SmackDown. Must-see television this Friday night. Friday night SmackDown.
But that's good, because then he can push the match going into Elimination Chamber.
Yep. So there you go. That's the Raw Post Show, basically in a nutshell. Which means we're done for the evening.
We are! So you want to pimp shit?
I might as well. Tomorrow night, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, The Innovator of Violence, Tommy Dreamer on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio at 9 p.m. Eastern. Your show's at 9 p.m. Eastern, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. Wednesday night, just another goddamn wrestling show at 8:30 p.m. Eastern with Scott Barry, Jed Schaefer, and Brian Boddy and the Cheap Wood paneling. Thursday night, it's The Rack.
That's right. Tune in as we talk all about Elimination Chamber, a little bit more than we did tonight. We're going to be talking about TNA Impact and all the happenings that happened on there. Yeah. And, sorry, trip myself up for a second. And hopefully I will be able to talk this week. Probably not, though. So stay tuned.
Yeah, you want to stay tuned for that Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Yes, we're over already, Kinkins. It's been about almost an hour. It's been 50 minutes. Jesus. Time just flies on the show. Friday night game night with Mace at 7 or 8 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night midnight, it's EB Radio with myself, Rob Parks, and Subway. We're going to talk about the Grammys. We're going to have them pick the Grammys, even though it happened Sunday. We'll pick the Elimination Chamber and discuss all the weird, the wacky, and the unusual. Maybe we'll have our snowman from Ace. Maybe. You never know. It's Super Radio. Weird, wacky, and unusual. Saturday night, midnight-ish, Sunday at 11 p.m. Eastern. Wrestle Talk Radio returns live at 11 p.m. Eastern to cover Elimination Chamber. I did a little special Wrestle Talk Radio, so check it out in the archives at wildtalkradio.com. Just 20 minutes of the headlines of the weekend. Go and check that out. We'll be back next Monday night for the Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Follow us on Twitter at wildtalkradio. Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, Facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork, CanadianAllPro.com, WTRProductions.net, Lindsay.
You can follow me on Twitter, at Lindsay Ward, LNSWARD. You can go to our website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. And of course, please go to CassidyRiley.net and buy his merchandise. He would greatly appreciate it.
Yes, visit the fine folks at PEWmania.com for all your wrestling news. Go to MemlanePromo.com. We'll be running the contest Thursday. We'll give you all the details about the Elimination Chamber Pick'em. If you have picks, send them to MediaWildTalkRadio.com. But we're running on full card Thursday night on the rack. So, for Lindsay Ward, I am Sir Rockin'. We'll see you next Monday night for another edition of the Wild Post Show, live right here across the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network.